I was not nervous the other night, but I am now. I'll just start with a prayer. Dear Father, I just thank you that we can be here together. And I just pray that you would help my testimony to be of a comfort and a help to somebody here. I just pray that your Spirit would bless each one of us as we seek to follow you with our whole hearts. Amen. I'm just going to ask you a question. What is Jesus worth? And if we ask the question, what is he worth? He's worth the world. We can't put a price on him. But what is he worth to you? What if God asked you to give him the dearest thing you have? What is he worth to you? Is he worth the dearest thing that you can think of? The dearest thing that you own? Is Jesus worth that much? And I'm just going to tell the testimony of what he became to me when he did take the dearest thing that I had. But it starts many years ago where I had a pretty close friend that I, and it was a guy friend, and I liked him a lot. And he liked me a lot too. And we were very close, and we spent almost every day together. We were always together. We were always talking. And I thought, surely, I was going to marry him. And he would say random things to me like, I wish I could marry you, but I just don't know if I love you. I was like, well, whatever. And eventually, our relationship was just kind of yucky. Like, he was going through a very hard time. And he ended up just kind of running to me like a little boy when he gets hurt. He goes to his mom and she kisses his little wound and it's all better. And it was like he was just always running to me like, I have this problem and this happened. And I would I would kiss away the pain and he was all better. And I thought, and I knew I was being used. But I wasn't strong enough to tell him to shape up. I just let him walk over the top of me. And he eventually he met a girl that he was became pretty seriously interested in. And he would talk to me about her, and I was pretty torn up about it. I wouldn't say anything. I didn't know what to say. And then there came a time when he was going to go see her because she lived a ways away. And the night before he left, he pulled me aside and he was kind of like, I'm sorry for getting so close to you. Like, I didn't really mean anything by it. I wasn't, like, trying to have a relationship or whatever. Like, I'm sorry about it. And I was just, I mean, I felt like he had just slapped me in the face. I was like, you're going to hang on to me until the very last night, and then you're going to let me go. And I was absolutely numb. I just went to bed. I couldn't even think. And when I got up the next morning, I could not stop crying. I cried about the whole day. But the silly thing was that while he was there visiting her, he was emailing me. And I was like, well, I don't know what to think about this, but anyway, it eventually came to the point where me and him did not even talk to each other anymore. And but I still hung on to him in my heart. I was like, pretty much very stubborn about it. Like, this is the man I'm going to marry, period. And I don't even know why, because he was kind of a jerk. But I was like, God, basically, you have to do this for me. Like, this is what I want. This is what I need. Now do it. And just it just didn't seem like God would listen to me when I would just tell him. And when I would get quiet, like really quiet before him, it was like he would just ask me, like, can't you just give that to me? And I was just like, oh, I just did not like that at all. I did not like that question. And I was just too scared to give it to him and trust that he could do something with it. But I think it went on for about a year where I didn't really talk to this guy at all, but I still really wanted him. I did finally, I became very ashamed of how proud and stubborn I was being. And I was like, God, it's really not up to me. Like, it's all up to you. And I gave it to him. And after I gave it to him, I kind of looked at this guy and I was like, you know, why did I even hang on to him? I don't even trust him. I wouldn't even trust my kids with him. Why did I want to marry him? And I found peace and I felt very free. But I was still insanely sensitive about the subject. And I could not even bear to hear anybody talk about the subject of romance at all. It was just off limits. You did not go there with me or I would freak out. And I seemed to be a very nice target for all my lovely friends to pair up with people. And I hated it so bad. And I would just freak out and just, like, I don't want to go there. And people would still keep pairing me up with this guy and that guy and every other guy they saw. And anyway, in May of 2008, a guy came to church, and I was like, whatever, like, he's just a guy. I didn't even think about it. I was completely closed to the subject. And it never even crossed my head that there would be a possibility that he would like me. Or that I would like him. But it had hardly been 2 weeks before there were little rumors going around. Like, hey, I think they might go together. And of course, I freaked out even worse than ever. And I was like, no way, I'm not hearing it. Do not even go there. And I just started praying desperately, like, God, I do not want anything to do with this unless you are the one bringing us together. Like, I don't want anything to do with it. And 2 months or so had gone by and everybody was just saying, he likes you, he likes you. You guys are the perfect couple. I mean, you're the perfect pair. And I just would not hear it. Do not even mention it. I do not want to hear it. I don't care if he likes me. I am not going there. And all my friends would hang around me, oh, he's looking at you, and I'd be like, I really don't care. I was like, if I want to know if he's looking at me, I'll look at him to find out. I don't want to know. And nobody listened to me at all. They did not care at all that I was freaking out, and they just kept right on. But after a few more months had gone by, I knew that he liked me. And I knew that he was looking at me. And he was the most amazing thing any of you will ever meet. He was the most respectful man I've ever met. And his eyes were just out of this world. If I looked into his eyes, it would just blow me away. And I could only take 2 seconds of it at a time. And very slowly, the resistance that I had up started melting down. And for probably about 9 months, we eyed each other and talked to each other occasionally, and we saw each other at church all the time, and I liked him a lot, and he liked me a lot, and we started spending time together and doing stuff together, and he was just so different than anyone I had ever met. He was so mature and so respectful, and all the other guys that I had ever known were just such jerks. They just did not have it together at all. And he asked me to start dating. And I was glad to say yes. And we dated for a few months, and I thought, like, it's all my worrying about guys and stuff is over. Like, I don't have to worry about it anymore, because he was so respectful and he was so decent and he was so kind. And he told me all the time that he was not fooling around with me. He was not just playing with me. He was serious about me. And he didn't just see me and say, oh, she looks nice, maybe I'll try her out. Like, he was not like that at all. But after a few months, I just felt like something's not right. Like, I felt like he was a little bit cold. And I was too afraid to say anything to him. So I just tried to pretend like it wasn't there. But there came a night when I went to hug him goodnight, and physically he was just as close as he had always been, but there was like 10 feet of ice between us, and I could not deny it, and I couldn't pretend it wasn't there. I knew there was something between us. And I was, like, shocked into, I did not know what to think. I was so numb, I couldn't think at all. I just went to bed, and I just tossed and turned the whole night, and I couldn't sleep, and I couldn't think, and I'm like, God, like, why aren't you helping us? Like, what is wrong? And I cried the next 3 days straight. And we finally did talk about it, and he never could say what was wrong. He didn't know what was wrong. And he would say, it's okay, like, we'll get through this. Don't worry. And I would try to take that, but it never really got any better. We just kept struggling. It was like after that, we just couldn't connect anymore. There was something between us. And I kept praying desperately, desperately that God would open the way again, that he would show us what was wrong, that he would help us. And I thought that he would. But after a few months of that, he finally said, I can't do this anymore. I can't be your boyfriend when I'm not what you need. I can't just hang on to you if I'm not actually giving you what you deserve. And you deserve somebody better than me. And something inside of me shattered, like dropping a chandelier on the concrete floor. And I just went into a whirlwind of confusion and questions and doubts, and I doubted everything I had ever believed. And for a long time I was like, well, there has to be a reason for this. Like, we have to be able to figure out why this happened and fix the problem, and it will be all better again. But it didn't happen. And I just went into existing mode. I was just barely there. I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't eat. I tried as hard as I could to be strong, but I knew that I was dying inside. And that no amount of strength that I had was going to save me. And people, after a couple months, after he left me, a couple months went by, and people would be like, how are you? And I just felt like everybody expects me to be over this by now. Everyone else has moved on. And I can't just keep saying I'm dying, like, I just would say I'm fine, and I was choking on my own words as I said it. But I felt like nobody was able to. Everyone else just had moved on. They're like, whatever, I guess that's just the way it is. And I would go to church, and I'm dying inside. I can barely even make it. And people are like, how are you? And I'm like, oh, fine. But I knew I was lying to them. And I knew that I was not going to make it. If something did not help me, I was not going to get through it. And people would, so many lovely, well-meaning people tried to give me so much advice. And they would just say some of the most crazy things. I mean, like, there's better guys. Don't worry. Don't take it so personally. Don't be so hard on yourself. Time will heal it. Think happy thoughts. And I'm just going, you guys are missing it. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. And of course, I've been raised Christian all my life, and I know I have to forgive him, and I want to forgive him, but I'm so confused and so tormented and so destroyed, I don't even know how to forgive. And then a couple of my friends were going to go on the Journey to the Heart with ATI programs and asked me if I would go with. And I said I wanted to go. I had to go because I needed to get away, and I just needed to find God because I knew he was the only way I was going to survive. But I didn't have enough money to go, so they paid half of my way, and I went. And while I was there, I was reading my Bible. And I came to Isaiah 54. Five and six, that says, "For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God." I was shocked out of my senses when I read it. I was like, I can't believe that's really in the Bible. And it was a little ray of hope, something to hold on to. But I felt so forsaken by God. I could hardly, like, I felt like he just absolutely didn't care at all. And I was crying every day, all day. And I think some of the girls didn't even know what to do with me. And we went through a book, and then we would study and stuff, and then we would come back together as a team and share what we had learned and stuff, and I got back there one day, and I'm like, I have no idea. I said, I'm just so confused. I'm just so broken. And I said, I think everything I've believed my whole life has been lies. Because I feel like I'm so worthless and so ugly and so dirty and so forsaken and so wretched, and I have absolutely no value. And my team sisters were sitting beside me, and they're all like, whatever, I mean, you're beautiful. And I'm like, doesn't matter. I don't think I am. I don't feel like I am. I feel ugly in my heart because God is mocking me. That's how I felt. Like, he would actually give this to me and say, you can have this. And as soon as I take it, he takes it back and say, you can't have it. And I felt so mocked. But then they were all praying for me. And I start realizing, like, who actually sets the standard of what I am worth? Where am I getting my standard of what I'm worth from? I was getting it from my boyfriend, and because he walked away from me, I therefore felt worth nothing. And I started just thinking, like, what did Jesus do for me? And I feel so worthless because nobody was willing to fight for me, but that's what Jesus did. That's why he came. He fought for me on Calvary, and he's still fighting for me today. He still intercedes for us. And if he's fighting for me, I must be worth something to him. I'm his little girl, and I am beautiful to him, or he wouldn't be fighting for me. And so that helped a lot. But I had to go home and face it all again. And it just didn't get any better. And one night, I was sitting in church. And like usual, I was just crying my eyes out. And we were studying through 1 Peter. First Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And Timothy was just sharing how you have to cast your care on God because he cares for you. And even if you feel like he's the one that put the burden on you, you have to give it back to him because he's the only one that can take it. And I'm just sitting there like, I feel completely mocked. I'm like, for the last 4 months, I've been trying to give this burden to him and he's not taking it. And I went to a friend's house that night. And I was just talking to her and I was just crying my eyes out like I usually was. And I just felt so destroyed. I was so destroyed inside. I hated my life. I hated the fact that my heart kept beating. I just wished I could stop it. But I didn't know how. And I knew it wasn't right to kill myself. But I just wished that I could stop breathing and it would be over. The dreams would just haunt me. I would go to bed trying to get away from all the turmoil in my head, and I would fall asleep, and it would all follow me right into my sleep. And I would just dream about it all night. And then I would get up in the morning, and not only did I have everything to deal with that was going on, but I had all the dreams, they would just follow me like a monster. And I felt so hated and so thrown out and so despised, I could hardly even pray. And this one afternoon, my sister wanted to go to Wausau shopping, and I said I would go with. And she was talking to me on the way down about some of the stuff she had been through, and she's like, and the whole way I was trying to keep from just crying. And she finally said, like, if I can help somebody by going through what I've been through, it's worth it. And I just said, I didn't say anything, but I started crying. And I'm thinking inside, it's not worth it because I'm not surviving. How I can't even help anyone. But even if I die and it somehow helps somebody, it's not worth it because nothing has ever hurt so bad. And we got to the store, and I just walked away and pretended to look at stuff, but I was crying the whole time. And I'm like, I just felt so mocked. I'm like, everyone's telling me that God will take this burden, but I've been trying to give it to him for 6 months and he won't take it. And I cried the whole way home. And I went straight to my room. And I was like, okay, God, I'm actually going to pray. Like, I hadn't been praying hardly. I couldn't really pray. But I got out my book, and I just wrote. And I'm just going to read what I wrote. It was February 27th of 2011. I wrote, Dear Jesus, I just want to know if you love me. I'm trying so hard to be okay, but I am dying inside. I feel so rejected and so trampled. I just want to be loved, to be cherished, to know that I am not alone. I'm so broken and so tormented that I don't know how to say anything. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. I don't know who I'm supposed to be. I have so many raging feelings inside of me. I just want to be loved. I know I'm not smart. I know I can't do anything. I know I'm a mess. I know I have faults, and I know that I fail, but I want to be loved anyway. I want to be loved, even if I'm shy, and even though I don't like talking on the phone. Am I therefore worthless? What am I worth, Jesus? What am I good for? Why does he not love me anymore? If I am your little girl, why did you let him hurt me so bad? Why do I feel so unprotected and betrayed? Am I pleasing to you? Am I beautiful? Would you be proud to call me your little girl? The only man that was proud of me and proud to stand by me, by my side, won't even look at me anymore. I don't know what love is. I don't know what trust is. Every time I open my heart to love, I get betrayed and used. I don't know how to trust anymore. All of my trust has been shattered. I need to know that it matters to you. I need you. I can't live without you, Angie. And I went to church. I pulled myself together somehow, and I went to church. And I smiled like I usually did, but I left right after it was over, and I went home, and I got out my Bible, and I just started reading in Isaiah, and I came to Isaiah 62. And I'll just read the stuff that stuck out to me. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, for the Lord delighteth in thee. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, and as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I was so shocked. I was speechless when I read it, and I read it over and over and over. And of course, I started crying. But something inside of me, I just hung on to that. I am not forsaken. It was like I was out on the sea, and somebody threw me a lifeline, and I held on to it. I was still in the water, but I had the lifeline, and I held on to it as hard as I could. And I went to work the next day, and the whole day long, I repeated the words over and over and over, not forsaken. I am not forsaken. And the burden lifted, where it was not eating me alive anymore. And I was able to just surrender and say, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do whatever you say, no matter what happens. Because you're the only way I'm going to survive. And that's actually what Jesus told us we had to do, was die. We have to die to ourselves. He said if we don't take up our cross daily and follow him, we can't really be his disciple. And so I gave up myself. I gave up my desires. And then one day I was just thinking, like, my boyfriend was the dearest thing I ever had, the most precious thing I ever called mine. And but Jesus gave the most precious thing that he had for me. And so I said, for you, Jesus, I can give it up. I can let you have it because you're worth that much to me. I can't survive without you. You deserve the best thing I have. And then I started just seeing it's not about me. It's not about him. It's not about anyone else. But it's all about Jesus. Because he gave everything he had for me and for you. And I said, I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm not going to stress anymore. I'm just going to give it to you because it's the dearest thing I have. And you're worth that much to me. And I know it's not fair. It doesn't seem fair at all. But at this point, it doesn't matter. Because God knows where I am and he knows where you are. And it wasn't fair at all when Jesus took the burden of our sin on himself. And it wasn't fair at all when he, as the Creator, was spit on and mocked by his own creation. And he did it just because he loved us, and he did it willingly. And it was hard. It was hard for me to just say, I'm going to forgive him, even if he never talks to me again. Not because it's fair, and not because I can do it, but because you told me to do it. And I had to just say, I choose to forgive him. Now you have to do it through me because I can't do it. And he did it. And I don't know what some of you might be going through or what you are going to go through in the next little while. But you have to make a decision to follow God, period. Even if it costs you your life, even if you think you're going to die over it, because Jesus is worth that much. We cannot survive without him. And you have to let him take care of everything that's not fair, because he knows what's happening. And he can take care of it. And one day, we are going to bow before him and confess him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We're not gonna stand there saying, you did this and this and this and that was wrong. We're going to bow before him and admit that he was right, everything he did. And you don't want to do that for the first time when you see him face to face. Just do it now, even though you don't understand. Just admit that he is Lord, that he does know what's going on, and that even the very worst things that happen to you, in some amazing way that we cannot understand, he can bring something good out of it. And I found out after a while that so many people were saying to me, like, just give it to God, just give it to God. And I was like, I've given it to God 150 times, and it's not helping. And I finally realized it's not about giving it to God, because whatever it is so completely mixed up with who you are, you can't separate it. I can't give it to God because It's in every thought that I think, in everything that I do. The only thing I can do is give my whole self to God, 100%. All of my dreams, all of my will, all of my desire, everything I ever wanted to be, everything I ever was. And it's when I gave my whole self that he took the burden, because he took me. I tried to give just the thing, but it was so much a part of me, I could not give just that. I had to give my whole self. He is watching over us in a way that we can't understand. I still don't know why it happened. I still don't understand it. And I still don't like it. But I have hope again, because I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to live my life for him, regardless of what happens, and regardless of where I end up. And I found hope again just in him, not in the fact that my circumstances changed, because they haven't, but hope again because he came to save me, and because he's walking beside me, and because he's bigger than everything that could go wrong in our lives. And I guess I just want to encourage you guys, whatever it is that you struggle with, or whatever God may have taken from you, you have to just surrender to him and give your whole self to him, and he'll take the burden. What is Jesus worth to you? Like, if you compare what you want, or the dream that you have, or the thing that was taken away from you, if you compare it with Jesus, it's not going to measure up. And my boyfriend is not worth that much, even though he was the most amazing man I ever met. He can't save me. He can't forgive my sins. He can't take me to heaven. He can't give me anything but companionship or friendship. Like, we have to get everything that we need for life from God, because nobody on earth has it, and nobody on earth can give it. And when I get to heaven, it's not going to matter whether or not I was single or married or whatever. It's not going to matter then. The only thing that's really going to matter at that point is if I did what Jesus said. If I followed him, that's what's going to matter. And that's all that's going to matter for you. And you have to be able to take your eyes off whatever it is that you might want, or that you think is your lifeline. It's not. Because it's not going to matter in eternity whether you had it or not. The only thing that's really going to matter then is what you did with Jesus. And I'm just so thankful that I have him. And so thankful that he can take care of me, because I know I can't take care of myself. and I still have lots of fears, and it still hurts. But I'm not living for it anymore, and it doesn't consume me, because God can take the burden from you, whatever it is. And He will take it. And I wrote a song for this, but I do not have the guts to sing it. So I am not going to. Maybe I'll sing it at the campfire. But let's just pray. Father, I just pray that You would be able to take my feeble words and use it in somebody's heart to draw them closer to Yourself and to give hope to somebody who might be losing hope. I just pray that You would show us, all of us, every day that You are really what we need, and You're the only thing that can give us the peace and the healing and the security that we need. I just pray that Jesus would be glorified in our lives, that He would be lifted up, and that people would be drawn to Him through our lives. Amen.